Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Jordan Roy Byrne, editor and publisher of The Daily Gold. Jordan, it's always good to get your thoughts on the general markets and the precious metal sector, of course. And I guess let's start off today, you know, acknowledging that the sector has been under a corrective period for some time now. This recent down leg, especially in the mining stocks, has really sucked the wind out of the sector. A lot of investor sentiment has soured again, and people are wondering what it's going to take for the precious metals to move higher. And you have pointed out on the show a number of times, probably a dozen times, that people have to be careful what they want, and that if they want to see the precious metal sector really start a new upleg, it's probably going to coincide with some general market weakness, and it's probably going to start diverging from the general markets and trending higher as the general markets come under pressure. So I'd love you to maybe start there and just unpack how you're viewing the bigger picture situation in the precious metals and what it's going to take for the sector to blaze a new trail higher.
Yeah, well, you know, it's something I've been talking about for the last year or so while we've had this correction. You know, we really need to see a real correction weakness in the stock market to get precious metals going. I mean, I also mentioned the possibility of a rate hike, but, you know, that was based on gold declining to the 1600s first, and we know that didn't really happen. So looking at recent history, as well as history over multiple decades, excluding the 80s and 90s when real rates were so high, you know, bear markets or significant corrections in the stock market align with the start of major up moves in precious metals. And those moves can start, you know, right as the bear market starts. They can start in the middle, or they can start at the very end. So, and if we're looking at historically, the negative correlation was bigger for most of the 70s, also 2000 to 2002. And so those were periods when a secular bear market in stocks was starting. And so I think that's a good possibility here with what we're seeing in the stock market, that this could be the start of a secular bear market. And if you look at certain valuations and indicators that are used to project forward returns, I mean, they're all projecting some of the worst forward returns from stocks that we'd ever seen. So all these things are very good for precious metals in the big picture sense. Of course, initially, at the initial phase of a bear market, precious metals can get sold. And we're seeing that because real interest rates have been rising. There's also a little bit of fear that the Fed's going to continue to tighten, and that's going to be negative for all asset classes. However, you know, I've been talking about the Fed's, you know, having to stop hiking rates because the economy and markets get worse. I'm not saying that's going to happen in a month or so, but I do think it's possible in the next couple months. So the Fed having to shift their course and stop hiking, that's going to be good for precious metals. And, you know, if we see the stock market later this year roll over again, make lower lows, and then the economy looks like we're in recession, you know, that's going to be the time when the Fed, you know, inflation worries are probably going to be much less at that point. And then at that point, you know, you could have talks about fiscal stimulus again. You could have the Fed wanting to ease. So that to me is the scenario where we will see precious metals really decouple from the stock market. So we're not there yet. It's really the next phase when you get that next decline after a bear market rally for a couple months or several months in stocks. Then the market rolls over again. The realization that we're in a recession becomes obvious. That coincides with policy that is going to be, you know, really good for precious metals. So that's when I see the decoupling happening later on. So what's going on here and now, it's very painful for our sector, but I mean, all of this is necessary to engender a real bull market in our sector, and not just a move that goes up for 4 months or 6 months. And then, you know, we have to wait another 2 years for a similar move. It's going to be a real bull market move. It's going to be a move where gold, you know, is able to break out of this cup and handle pattern and really explode. But there are going to be some rough waters, I think, before we get to that point, because I think the Fed has to tighten at least a little bit more. There's still so much concern about inflation. There is some concern about the economic data. But again, we're probably going to see some more Fed tightening. The technicals on gold and silver do not look great. You know, sentiment indicators, the COTs, those are not extremes yet. But, you know, gold's outperforming the stock market. And so that's a good thing. So we're not quite there yet where I think we get a real turn. But I don't think it's that far away in terms of time. So that it sums up my big picture views.
Well, Jordan, it's interesting because we hear obviously a lot of different opinions when we're talking to folks on the show, and you just see it when you read articles out there in the marketplace, that a lot of people think everything in a range from, hey, we need to see a bull market in equities for the precious metals to do good because people buy gold as 5% of their portfolios and they're not going to invest in gold if they're not making money, which seems kind of like a funny narrative because really, to your point, it's usually when there's chaos in the world and when there's problems that people turn to gold as a safe haven, not when they're making a ton of money. But we also hear that if there's a market crash or if there's a big market sell-off, that it's just going to suck everything down the drain, including silver, gold, and the precious metals mining stocks. What would you say to those people that think, hey, if we see any more market pressure, it's just going to pull everything down along with it?
Well, I mean, I think it might. I mean, initially, I think it could pull everything down. But if we see more market pressure, that's going to lead to the Fed having to shift course. It's going to lead to the concern is going to be more about the economy going into recession than rising inflation. And that's exactly what we need to really get precious metals going. So, I mean, that with respect to precious metals, that would not worry me. I mean, I would welcome that. I think we need something like that. We need another leg lower to get precious metals really moving. Now, granted, things like silver exploration companies, they're still going to lag. So it's, you know, if they're going to get hit, they're not, you know, they'll probably bottom with the sector, but they're not going to lead and outperform until you know, we see 2100 in my view. So I think, you know, gold producers are those are the things that are going to turn around first. Silver exploration stocks, you know, they need a really strong environment for precious metals, I think, to really get going. So that would be the one thing to remember. But yeah, gold is a counter cyclical investment. I mean, it doesn't do its best when the economy is strengthening and running, and you know, there's all this, you know, demand. People say it's a supply and demand thing. No, that's not the case. It's a counter cyclical investment, and the economy is headed for, I think, some serious problems where, you know, we're going to have real stagflation where I think inflation could come down to maybe 3, 4, or 5%, and yet you have negative growth at that point, and then you have a serious problem where there's really no good answer at that point. So I think we're coming into, you know, give it another quarter or two, but we're going to be moving into a period that's going to be super bullish for precious metals, and we'll see what a real bull market looks like and not, you know, what we've had over the last 4 or 5 years.
I think that's a great point because there has been a lot of those small moves for 4, 6, 8 months, and that's all there was to the moves, and then we go back to a corrective pattern. And people keep asking for a longer period of an uptrend. And the point you're making is a real bull market in precious metals is when they're gaining on the stock market. You know, the Dow gold ratio would be in favor of gold diverging from the general markets. And you would see the mining stocks even outperform the metals performance in that environment, which we really haven't seen too often. So for people to see that longer term bull run, there still may be a little more short term pain. Just recently, you put out a video outlining the bearish case for gold. So we've talked about the longer-term bullish setup, but outline the bearish case for gold for us, maybe more in the near term.
Well, I think that, I mean, there's a lot of bearish cases that get put out there, and I think most of those have close to zero merit. But I think that the bearish case here and now is you do have a technical, you have one that's technical where if we look at gold, especially the monthly chart, you know, it made this lower high. So it looks really iffy. And I think, you know, gold could test the 40 month at 1700, you know, if we get, or if the Fed is able to continue to tighten beyond the next couple of meetings, you could see gold, you know, retest that 1675. So technically, even though gold has been outperforming the stock market, just looking at gold and the price action, I mean, the look of the chart is not that great with that lower high, and then you have some distribution on the monthly chart. And of course, silver's already broken down. So there's that. Fundamentally, I think it's just as simple as if you look at two of the last three major bottoms in gold coincided with a peak in financial conditions, or the tightening of financial conditions that happened at the end of 2015 and also the COVID low. And so the tightening of financial conditions, I think, is going to continue. It's going to have to continue at least a little bit more. And alongside of that, you know, the Fed they're probably going to have to tighten at least a little bit more. I think the next two meetings, they're going to want to get 50 basis points done. And so that way, in a couple months, they can say they got up to 2%. So I think that you know, you have the tech, you have the technicals, and then you have the fact that financial conditions are, if you had to bet on it, you'd probably say they're going to have to tighten at least a little bit more. You know, some people are saying they're going to tighten a lot more. I don't think they can do that. And that's, you know, that's based on the market. So the Fed follows the market. The market is going to tell the Fed when they have to stop. And so that's why, you know, we watch the 10-year yield and the 2-year yield. And so if we see the 10-year yield, you know, well off its high in the next month or two, and the Fed is still hiking, I mean, that could be a sign that that's the end of the hiking for the Fed. So, you know, even though they may want to tighten a lot more, the market is probably going to force them to stop at some point. But, you know, big picture, I mean, those are the issues for precious metals in the short term, that the Fed is probably going to have to tighten a little bit more. Financial conditions have to get a little tighter. So that's not good for precious metals in the short term. And then secondly, you know, you have a technical bearish case to make based on sentiment indicators are not at real extremes yet. And, you know, gold made this lower high. There's some distribution in the chart. And so that, you know, it could come down and test the 40-month 1700. So that to me is the bearish case right now. It's not... The bearish case is not we're going to have this massive deflationary collapse, you know, or this is 2013 again. Those cases don't have any merit.
Well, let's shift over to silver for just a moment. We had talked last week that one of the areas of concern was that 2141 support. It had been tested, I don't know, a couple times, maybe three or four times in 2021, and held and had sharp reversals. But we had noted that when silver was heading down from 25 to 24 to 23, that it was looking like it was on target to get near that 2141. And your position was if it broke, that it could pretend to lower prices. Silver has broken below there, but just barely. It's still hanging out in the mid 21 area, 2110 to 2160, let's say, in that range. It's been bouncing around. What's your outlook on silver for the near term?
Well, I think silver, like gold, stocks and bonds, I think they're all oversold, and so they all could have a relief rally here for maybe a month or two. Yeah, I mean, the chart is ugly, but, you know, one thing to point out is that gold and silver, they do have a history of bottoming when there's, you know, breakdowns, and the charts can look ugly. So that's something important to consider. You know, the chart doesn't necessarily have, I mean, the technicals on the chart are one thing, but I think the bottom will come when the market senses the Fed has shifted policy. So that's, you know, that's going to happen regardless of how the chart looks. But I do think silver is, I mean, let's see, it's traded as low as 2040, it looks like. But if you're looking at a weekly chart and you look at the last month or so, or last 2 months, I mean, it's almost gone straight down. And we know it had those declines where it was down 9 or 10 days in a row. So it's really oversold, but it's clearly broken down. And I think the next strong support level is around 1875, just below 19. There's a confluence of strong support there. So I still hold that silver is probably going to test that level at some point here before there's a sustainable bottom.
Okay, and just one more area that we should probably touch on is that a lot of the people listening to this interview are heavily invested in the mining stocks, and that ranges from the big boys and royalty companies all the way down to the tinier juniors. What's your outlook for the mining stocks technically, and I guess are there any levels you're watching in the ETFs, like GDX or GDXJ?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're seeing a bit of a rally here. GDXJ, so it's trading up to 37 now. I mean, there is some support at 34, 35, and then also 32, 33. So those are support levels. GDX, I mean, I remember a year or so ago looking at 26 as a significant level. So I would keep those in mind. I mean, I think with the mining stocks and juniors as well, I mean, stock picking is so important. I mean, that can reduce your risk when you own companies that you're really confident that these have potential to create a huge amount of value in a real bull market. So I do think looking at juniors and a lot of the juniors that I own and follow, a lot of these stocks have, they have 10 bagger potential at this point. If we get a cup and handle breakout in gold over the next year or so, and we see 3,000, 4,000 gold in the next two and a half years, there's a lot of stocks that are quality companies that are going to be 10 baggers. And I'm not talking about 20 million market cap companies where you're gambling on drill holes. I mean, there are a lot of good junior companies that have some real potential coming out of this correction. So I think there's a lot of technical damage in the sector. But again, once we see the Fed shift policy, I think things can turn around faster than people expect. But we're not quite at that point yet.
Okay, Jordan. Well, let's wrap it up there. That's an encouraging note to think about, I guess, for the medium to long term and for value investors out there. Always appreciate getting your thoughts on the precious metal sector and just your take on the fundamentals and the technical levels that you're watching. So appreciate you sharing some time with us, Jordan, and we'll talk to you again next week.